What's up, people? Welcome to the Toasty Podcast. I'm trying something different. I want to give you guys a quick intro before we begin the actual episode to give you a rundown of what we talked about. This will help you jump to each section that you want to hear because these podcasts are long and I wouldn't listen to the whole thing if it were me. I don't think I would, honestly. Before we begin, though, I want to tell you guys real quick on this specific episode only, I messed up the audio. The audio is not what it normally is. It's not the crisp, clear, amazing voice of me and Matty B that you hear right now with the mic in front of me. It's the mic behind the iPhone and it's trash. So I apologize for that. That is completely my fault. I did not do the recording correctly. In spite of that, though, I hope you can enjoy this content anyway. And if you're here for the first time, please like, share, subscribe, smash that share button. We want to get this thing out there to everyone that wants to hear this or needs to hear this, regardless of opinion and personal belief. In light of that, today we have a few topics for you guys. We give you a few updates on Israel. We go through that colleges are being sued by students because of the cost during COVID. We also want to tell you to share the podcast, of course. And then we get into our main topic, which is hunting and conservation and how they actually tie together and might even help each other out. We want to hit this with facts and research and tell you guys a little bit about hunting and conservation. I'm glad you're here. Let's get it. It's time. Are you ready? What's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky.
And I'm Matty B.
And today, we've got some current events and we've got some politics, as usual, with your dudes here explaining it in commentary.
Yeah.
So, let's get freaking to it. The first story I want to hit is the Israel story. I know there's a lot of hubbub about this story.
Whoa. Don't forget the Palestinians. Israel versus Palestinians.
The Israel story. Israel. Oh, my bad. Israel-Palestinian story. Is that better?
Well, okay, yeah, because I'm just saying, yeah, because you can't just say, I feel like a lot of people are putting the focus on Israel.
In a negative light. Yeah. And I'm not putting a negative light on
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yet. Let me come around. So first of all, you guys may have saw today, literally today, probably about 4 hours ago, Israel and Hamas agreed to a ceasefire, potentially ending the bloodiest fighting the region has seen in years. And that's funny to me, because I saw, while searching for that article from Fox News and from Business Insider, I found another article. What's interesting to me is that this article is from 2012, but the headline reads, Israel-Hamas ceasefire comes into effect in Gaza, and that's from BBC News.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Is it just
because
to gain money?
It's because Hamas ran out of rockets. That's why.
No. Well, okay, hold on a second. This current one, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So this article that reads in 2012 says we need to stop rocket attacks, and as soon as they agreed, Palestinian gunmen are firing into the air in celebration, and then Hamas still shoots more rockets into Israel after the ceasefire was called. This is in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing is, it's obvious what happens.
Give it 12 hours.
Some other stuff will happen.
Yeah.
I agree with you, too. The thing is, where it all started, apparently, is rent. And I don't understand that. I've read into this a lot. And the thing
is
that people are talking about, yes, legally, Palestinians are required to pay rent to a landlord. It's funny to me that I have to even say that, because rent needs to be paid. You pay your rent. That's how that works to your landlord.
Yeah.
But that's not happening here. They don't believe that Israel is a place, legitimately. They don't think it's a country. They have been saying this for years.
They don't recognize
it. They don't recognize it at all. They think it's just, you know, a bunch of people that call them something. They call themselves something. So here they are, chilling like villains, living in apartments for free, and what do you call that? Squatters? They're being squatters. And next thing you know, the landlords are like, yo, pay my rent. And they don't.
Yeah.
So the landlord starts suing them. Well, then Palestine gets mad about that. Obviously, they just think that that shouldn't happen because Israel doesn't exist to them. So here we go. They start firing.
Mm.
Israel did not shoot first.
No.
Not even close.
No,
they defended for the entire week and a half that this was going on.
You
and then decided, okay, you know what? Let's do something.
Yeah. And then as soon as they do something, what does the left mainstream media do? They put it under negative light. They say that it's Israel's causing bloodshed everywhere. Mm. But Gaza wasn't. But Hamas wasn't. But the whole strip was fine. Yeah. What the heck is that? In April, Biden decides, I'm going to give $235 million to Palestinian Authority. A month before Hamas attacks. Okay?
Mm-hmm. What do you think they did with weird. A lot of that money?
What do you think they did, right? They bought the stuff they used to freaking attack
from
Israel.
Iran. Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing. On our side, in their defense, we're kind of playing both hands, in my opinion. Because the next thing you know, we give them $735 million so that Israel can replenish their rockets that they had to use during their freaking Iron Dome system, like, mm-hmm. defense, right?
Exactly.
Which, by the way, everyone's always talked about that defense system, and it's absolutely top of the line. You're talking about thousands of rockets, 300 a day, at more than that, probably.
At least, yeah.
Coming in to one city.
And 90% of them get.
And 90% of them go away?
Yeah.
Like, just get freaking blown up before
blown
they...
Blown up in the air, yeah.
That's crazy to me. How does this thing work so well? Like, you're talking about, like, a firework that's better than that. It's, like, just constantly.
Yeah.
And you, if you're living anywhere near this base that they have, like, you're just... You're deaf.
Yeah. Oh,
it was
okay.
probably shooting, like... Sure. It was probably... 300 rockets. Like, let's think about that, you know? What is 300, like, divided into 24, you know? Let me do that.
That's a lot. I mean, it's... And the thing is, they shoot them all at once so that it overwhelms the Iron Dome system as much as possible. But they're still, the success rate is still remarkable considering how many rockets are being fired all at once.
That's one, yeah, I don't get it. It's crazy to me. But that's kind of the lowdown on the whole Israel versus Palestine or Palestine versus Israel thing.
Round 237.
This is not, yeah, there's a lot of history here and there's a lot I could explain.
Yeah.
And you could say it all started with Rome in 70 destroying a Jewish state and then calling it Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know what? We won't go that far. I don't really feel like going that far because I'm not the history guy, and I didn't really let Matt know to prep for that. That's not what we're doing. It's not a deep dive.
That's all good.
So,
I mean, long story short, it's a long, complicated history in which the Palestinians, honestly, have been offered two amazing peace deals in my lifetime, and they basically just haven't accepted either one, and they've both been very mutually beneficial.
So let's just pretend those missiles go off 24 hours a day. 300, just 300 of them.
Mm-hmm.
12 and a half missiles an hour. You know, so you're gonna hear this freaking missile every 20 minutes. Sorry, like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, mm-hmm. 8 minutes, something like that. You're gonna hear it a lot. You're gonna hear a freaking defense round all the time throughout the day. That's crazy. And that's saying that they shoot them all 24 hours, which they may just do 12 hours because that's a day, right? That's crazy. It's insane. Guys, if you're listening right now on the podcast, thank you. We appreciate you. But if you'd rather watch, head on over to YouTube. We have a channel called The Toasty Podcast. Of course, you can watch us there as well. I will have the video edited and uploaded probably next week. Now, well, that you would have been listening tomorrow is Friday, and I bring the podcast out on Fridays. So after that, the next week is... when I have it up on YouTube. Right now we're on Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us if you are on Facebook Live. I try to be as present as possible in all of the platforms. It does get complicated sometimes.
It does help
if
you just like and share and subscribe.
The main thing, literally the main thing, is sharing it.
Yeah.
That is the most help we can have to spread the word. If you agree with us, we agree with you, share it. Because maybe someone else wants to hear it too.
Yeah.
You never know. And in order to save... You know what? I'll go as far as to say, in order to save America and save free speech, we need more podcasts like this and more shows like this getting shared. And that requires
very true
listener help.
Yep.
The next story I wanted to mention or get to in current events before we hit our main topics of hunting and conservation. Apparently, which is good. This is actually a positive thing to me. Students are finally fed up with how colleges are treating them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as tuition, the cost, you know, living expenses, all of these things added together, it sucks. College is too expensive. And we've said that in a previous podcast. We've had a podcast where I said, is college worth it? And we just dove into that question. You guys can check that out also on YouTube if you want to, or go into Spotify and look at the past episodes. It is one of our first, so please cut us some slack. But I went to actually NBC News, of all places. This is actually all over the place, but NBC is who I chose. Students at 25 colleges sue for refunds after campuses closed because of coronavirus. The quotes here are, "It's just not the same experience I would be getting if I was at the campus." His quote's not wrong, though, and there's tons of students just like him that think the exact same thing. I put a poll out to audience, my audience that I, you know, sort of have, I guess, and they responded. They told me, yeah, they did pay the exact same, and yes, it was, they actually paid more. There was a distance fee on these students' college tuition. A distance fee, and they were remote learning, which honestly, I wouldn't even call that learning.
No.
That's not learning. You're watching a screen. And when you're watching a screen,
yeah.
I mean, maybe some people learn like that. I do not. I can't sit here and do that all day, especially if it's a screen of my teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about ADHD, like, let's be honest here. This is from the AP. So they wanted the campus experience, but their colleges sent them home to learn online during the coronavirus pandemic. But now students at more than 25 U.S. universities, and this is just NBC News putting this. I've heard other outlets saying that it's hundreds of colleges. You know, but they're filing lawsuits against their schools demanding partial refunds at least. You're talking about $60,000 a semester at some of these places. Maybe more, and they're paying that still while they're at home. What is the college doing? Do they have to mow the grass still? No. Well, they probably do, but I'm just saying.
They've got to maintain the campus.
Maintain the campus?
They're saving a lot of
easy.
Utilities.
I was about to say, electricity? If the professors are there, sure, I understand some of that, but that does not explain thousands and thousands of students not being present and why they would need all the utilities still. Now, here's what I think. I think colleges are heavily in debt. I think colleges somehow, just like the U.S. government, spend more than they make. And I'm not sure how that happens, because honestly, I can't think of a thing that colleges would need to spend money on. But let's think about this. Colleges lobbying. Does that happen?
In a way. I mean, they're public institutions, so they get public funds already. They don't really have to lobby.
Like, you're talking like private universities at Yale, and
well,
did they?
Yeah.
They don't really get public funding.
They get grants, so they get lots of public funding.
In these 25, there was a few, like, state schools, a few big state schools, and then there was mostly, like, pretty good private universities that were getting sued. So, I'm just confused. Yeah, how would a college spend more than they make? Like, where does that,
you know? Did that come from?
Yeah, I would think about, like...
That's a really good question.
Like, you have buildings already there, like, you know, let's... Colleges aren't like expanding all the time.
A&M
is expanding all the time.
Huge, massive, biggest campus in the U.S. land area wise, and they're building new buildings all the time. So I could understand if they went into debt temporarily to build a new state of the art building, and then they made the revenue back after, you know, expanding tuition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
interesting.
I could see temporary debt, maybe running. But running a deficit, running a deficit in their revenue every year is like, whoa, how?
I mean, every other corporation does it.
Tuition is like insanely expensive. So
you're talking about, yeah, it's just a lot of money. This is millions of dollars that colleges make.
Mm-hmm.
Millions.
Billions.
Billions. Okay, billions. I'll even go, so you're right. Because
like
it's thousands of students.
Definitely like a billion.
There's no way. Well, colleges, though, reject the idea that refunds are in order because students are learning from the same professors who teach on campus, officials have said. And they're still earning credits toward their degrees. Schools insist that after being forced to close by their states, they're still offering students a quality education. That's what they're saying. That's their thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
but they're not. They're not offering a quality education at that point, in my opinion.
They're not.
They're still paying those professors. That's kind of their problem, honestly.
Yeah.
There's no way you're getting the same amount of learning. There's no
way
you're
getting
the same.
What do you do with the tenured professor when there's no classes? You have to put them on a screen, and then you got to make them do something.
What's the professor doing? Are they actually at campus, or are they at home?
You
got to
pay them either way. It depends on the class, I'm sure.
Look, I can see online...
I bet you they're at home.
I can see online classes working for some classes. It's always been the case. An MBA, like random classes that really, okay, fine, I'll take these courses because I have to and I'm going to do it so I can have a skill, fine. You know, like mechanics is a hands-on thing. You can't do that,
no.
Which I'm not really trying to compare that one. I don't even know if that one was actually remote.
But even like most science classes, there was some there's a lab.
Right, you can't do anything with that. And there were some doctors that were talking about that. They're talking about their students like having to be remote learning. How does this work? If you're trying to be a doctor.
Yeah.
How is that? How does that? There's no way.
You gotta have some sort of.
I don't care. There's no way that works. There's no way that works.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy that has to be. You gotta be in person. Like I'm a very. I can definitely learn if I'm in person with somebody. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now I was never the guy that could sit through class either. I'm just not that guy. But that's not. I don't think that's who I'm really trying to target here. I'm saying, remote learning does not work for the majority of people. I would argue that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Completely.
There's no way.
It's not a very good way, though.
And the last thing I'll end on with colleges is the one article I read, and I'm not going to get that far into it because I didn't really go that far into it, and it wasn't really going to be part of our topics, but I just wanted to mention it. More colleges say they're going to require students to have COVID-19 vaccines for fall. Now, I wonder how that'll play out. I don't even know if it actually will play out.
Well, most colleges and high schools and public schools require vaccines for other things, so it's not like surprising. They require flu and meningitis vaccines.
So this is Duke University in North Carolina, uh-huh. Rutgers University in New Jersey, the Notre Dame University, yep. Brown and Cornell, Northwestern University, Cleveland State. Wow, these are some big schools.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not surprising.
It's not surprising to me either, I guess. But you're talking; these students are already mad. They couldn't go to school, and they're paying astronomical rates. So you're going to add this to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a real case for a
Dude,
lawsuit for sure. Class action, maybe.
Come on, where are these guys going? Like, let's do something.
Mm-hmm.
Do something.
Yeah.
The education system is wrecked,
completely.
And it has been for a while. And
yeah.
When is that going to be a focal point? It definitely won't right now while the mainstream media on the left is all we see because of censorship. That's a big deal too. But you know what? In that case, you know, do your own thing. Don't go to college. So be it. Honestly, these days, people are making money just streaming online
mm-hmm.
and being freaking idiots on behind a mic.
Yeah.
So like, what, you know, if that's the case, our economy is weird right now.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people that have no practical skills that are making money and
that's we need real workers.
That's a real problem because
farmers.
What happens if there's a freaking EMP and the internet goes out for a year?
Right.
How many people are gonna be completely and utterly helpless? Like
right.
completely. Like they don't even know where to get food.
And that's their fault, right?
Yeah.
Now I think 100%. When it comes to something like a shutdown, if we're going to talk about that, when it comes to something like a shutdown, like let's just say electricity goes out for a while or whatever, like we had in Texas for a few days even,
mm-hmm.
big cities, people that live in big cities, will have zero idea what to do.
Yeah.
They will not know how
That's
to handle
basically
themselves.
What happened, yeah.
We're talking about gas shortages, and then some people have said that in D.C. there's food shortages. I don't know if these things are true at all.
Mm.
D.C. or Chicago, one of the two. But anyway, if this was the case... Yeah, you're wrecked. Practical skills are imperative. And so, if you're going to go to school, by God, just go to learn a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Please learn a trade. Because when
least,
it comes down
the very
to
least
it...
At least as your fallback plan.
Because when it comes down to it and you don't have anything going on and you're ruined and everything's shut down and we're in turmoil and, you know, we're in factions against the Capitol and all this
mm-hmm.
stuff, like, let's just throw it down. I know how to work on cars. I have my skill, and I will be just fine, and I'll figure
yeah.
it out. Obviously, also, I grew up in the country, so I know some other things too, but that's what I'm talking about.
I think basic farming is a real, like even urban farming.
And
like,
you're
I
the freaking guy for that.
I have a small raised bed. I've got containers that have stuff.
Right.
I mean, my house is on a tenth of an acre, and that's a small plot of land. That's tiny, okay? Takes me 10 minutes to mow my lawn, which is nice. But... it is like in the middle of Fort Worth, and just having that little garden brings me a lot of peace of mind just because it's a good practice. It's good practice.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to keep a lot of those seeds that I grow
mm-hmm.
and save them and
redo it.
Maybe
you
do
know,
it.
You just keep
doing next
seeds,
year.
Keep doing next year. And honestly, the more you do that, probably the better the seeds are because
yeah.
they're probably more organic the more you do it. Because
yeah.
I know when you buy seeds off the shelf, they're honestly not the best.
Uh-huh. That's true.
And because my mom used to do a garden, right? And I know some things about it because of that. I haven't done it personally. I helped, whatever,
mm-hmm.
new kid helping. But
And I have one raised bed this year, and next year I'm going to have two. And next year I may have three. And if I have three raised beds, that's enough to feed a family of three for 3 months out of the year.
Yeah, this is self-sufficiency, guys, and it's important. And I'm not saying we're headed down this crap. I'm not saying we're there. I'm not really saying we're there. But there are a lot of signs. There are a lot of things going on right now, and there's just... I'm just skeptical of a lot of things. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to figure some stuff out.
Yeah. Especially with all the UFOs that we're seeing lately.
Especially with all the UFOs we're apparently seeing. And Obama's like, I won't say there's not. I can't talk about it. Like, if he says that, then...
And then the former head of the Pentagon Special Research Team or whatever that it was for aerial phenomena.
Yeah.
Basically just said, like, today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday that the U.S. has... special materials, like, I can't remember exactly what the phrase was, and I really wish I knew right now, but they have like specific material from that's not recognizable. They don't know what the heck it is.
What's interesting to me is that the more we talk about this and the more this happens, you know, whenever you said I think it's not aliens, I think it actually is us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually starting to believe that more.
It looks more and more like
than
us
aliens.
Than aliens.
Because
that's
of the way...
I think.
Really?
Yeah.
See, usually you think the opposite.
I don't know if it's even us from the future, dude.
No, I know. I'm saying that I'm actually disagreeing now with my... I'm starting to come to terms with the fact that it may not be what I called interdimensional beings, which would be, honestly, humans in the future.
Uh-huh.
Because of the way everything's playing out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's release these and not those. Let's talk about this and not that. And it all feels like a real, real weird in some spy CIA movie. Honestly, not even a movie. In MK Ultra or some crap. Like, it feels like something's going to come out and it's going to be like, oh, the CIA hired Bob Lazar and he's a CIA operative. And turns out this is us. And we have an absolutely... amazing military, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking now. And I think you literally brought that idea to my head. I started thinking more and more. And then the more stuff I see and I read about it, I'm like, okay, this is too much. Too much. I'm like, there's no way. And I think they're just warming us up to it, dude. The more we find out, the more they bring out, they're warming us up to this idea that something crazy is out there so that when they do tell us, yeah, it's us, we're all just like,
yep.
Oh, okay, cool, whatever. You know? So then they can get away with introducing some freaking crazy stuff into our lives. And we'll just be like, yeah, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a desensitizing. They're desensitizing us.
Exactly. They're getting us ready for what they're about to share with us, which is basically like, hey, guess what? We can basically manipulate... we can locally manipulate space-time.
Oh, yeah. They're
going to be like...
They finally, like, have some
what?
Scientists coming out, and they're like, yeah, we found dark matter, it exists, and you're like, what? And then
yeah,
read about
power,
what that is, and you're
world.
Like, oh my gosh.
We can power the world for 1,000 years, no problem.
Guys, don't go to Reddit.
And
honestly,
the,
that's where I learned all
this
stuff.
Guess what's going to happen? Dude, the thing is, though, guess what's going to happen once we go, oh, guess what, we found a form of energy that's 10 times, you know, 100 times more efficient than nuclear energy,
right.
and 1,000 times safer, or something like that. Think about fossil fuels. Think about cars. Think about...
Now think about why they always push
grid,
climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't need to. We know they don't need to. I don't think they need to. I think we are advancing anyway.
Exactly. We're advancing. The private market is going to take care of it eventually. And
Elon Musk will save us all.
Yeah, duh. But the thing is, we're not even the biggest polluters. Our carbon emissions went down
right.
the last like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just naturally have gone down. It's not because of government regulations, because... We're getting more efficient cars because that's what people want. And I see a lot more solar panels on roofs.
Right.
It's all over the place. And that's just, and wind turbines. It's like 20% of Texas electricity is like wind turbines. So it's like.
To coin a term from the news outlets, someone familiar with the matter told me electric vehicles take 7 years once bought, actually specifically a Tesla Model S, takes 7 years once bought to reach carbon neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, from the factory to car, including all of it. So 7 years to make up for the factory, pretty much, is what he's saying.
Make up for the factory?
Like, make up for
but then
the
again,
car
like,
being created.
How is that electricity?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how is that electricity being generated?
Well, he said coal and everything.
It's
he said that.
Coal, yeah.
No, he said, literally, he said, the car itself only makes up for itself in 7 years. Hmm. That's kind of how he said it. Like, he was like, so really, it's, you know, not necessary right now. Anyway, okay, moving on, guys. The college thing was great. That was crazy. Students deserve it. I think they have to have the power. And if you are a student and you haven't spoken up about this, you need to speak up about this, because I haven't seen a single word about this until I started researching it. And I asked people about it. I had to ask, hey, what happened during COVID at your school? And they would tell me, and they would want to tell me. But why don't I see that? You know, on my social media and everything else, like, maybe people are just tired of talking. Maybe mm-hmm. people are just tired of talking because they know it's going into this endless void, and they're not even going to be seen anyway. They're not even going to be heard. But what about in person and everywhere else? Oh, well, maybe they haven't been in person. But I don't know. I just think that it's weird that we don't hear about these types of things. These things could actually, like, be good for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get away from all of the mainstream narrative that just makes us feel negative about life.
Yeah.
About cities that are on across the world.
I have a weird feeling that in like the next 2 years, 3 years, like none of this is going to matter. We're going to look at 2020 and be like, wow, that seemed normal compared to what's going on now.
A weird feeling? Dude, I agree with you completely. Everyone says 2021 is worse than 2020. Man, I don't think that's going to change for another 6 years. I think every single year someone's going to say,
well,
this is worse than last year.
What I'm saying is,
we're hitting challenging times, dude.
What I'm saying is that in 2-3 years, I think a lot of the, like we mentioned, those unskilled people, I think a lot of them are going to have a real hard time. And I don't mean like down the luck trying to find a job hard time. I mean like struggling to survive. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith. I'm not.
What year did you say?
2-3-4 years.
2-3 years from morning. Yep. Okay, I would say that I can concur. I would say it's 5 years. It's kind of what I was giving myself. 5 year limit on factions forming and all that stuff like you're saying. Because, well, you're not saying that, but I feel like to get to that point.
Oh, it's getting there.
We've already hit the culture war going hot.
Yep, there's a lot more tribalism going on for sure.
Tribalism is it, dude. Culture war right now, I think, is cold. It exists. We know it exists.
What do you mean it's cold?
Well, we have people talking back and forth, mad at each other constantly.
Oh, like a Cold War?
Cold War.
Yeah.
And in America, this is happening.
I don't think it's a Cold War anymore at all. No, I disagree.
It's hot now?
Look at the Black Lives Matter riots that happened over the summer.
We're seeing violence already.
Look at Antifa in Portland. They claim territory.
By the way, guys, riots are still happening. If you're not keeping, you know, you're obviously not going to see that because they don't want you to see that.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going on. Sometimes you just got to take a deep breath and take a step back.
Yeah. So real quick, to go back on UFOs, because this is a crazy...
Going back to UFOs?
Yeah, this is just a crazy, like, phenomena that's, like, really bubbling up right now. And I've always been very interested in UFOs. I've never really been, like, a hardcore believer, like, because mm-hmm. I don't know, really skeptical. But this is really interesting. This is from Yahoo Entertainment, funnily enough, whatever. The headline is, former Pentagon director claims U.S. government is in possession of, quote, exotic materials from UFOs. That's what I was looking for. Exotic materials.
Exotic materials, huh?
Mm-hmm. We don't know what they are or how they came into possession of them, whether we just found them or whether they were created in a lab, like S4
mm-hmm.
or Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't know. This guy just says it's all he can say, basically. Lou Elizondo appeared on Tucker and said, just revealed that the...
When did he appear?
Department of Defense is in possession of more than just reports.
More than just reports?
Yeah. Do what?
When was that?
Wednesday. He appeared on Wednesday.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think they're just bringing stuff up slowly and they're like, all right, soon enough they won't even care and we'll just say, yeah, it's actually us, we're awesome, and we're just going to be like, okay, cool. You know, as if keeping secrets from us like that aren't important. Like, I don't know, guys. I'm all about, you know, being truthful, and that's probably why I couldn't be a politician. I would just say exactly what I found out. Well, Janet said, you know, Kennedy's having an affair. I wouldn't care. I would just say whatever the heck I wanted to say. You know, it wouldn't matter. But and I would tell people exactly what I knew. Like, yeah, Russia is definitely coming after us. Or
they just wouldn't put you in any, like, intelligence
committees. China's in there for sure. Maybe not, but I don't want to be in intelligence committees anyway because they suck and they're always out to get you anyway. You know? Like, come on, dude. You could be in one and they're still like, okay, let's get blackmail on him so we know that we can get him out of here at the moment's notice.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
So, guys, we really want to get into this, and this is about hunting and conservation.
Yeah.
Matt was feeling this, it, and I'm cool with it. I'm into it, but I don't know, like, I know about hunting.
Yeah, hunting and conservation. A lot of people, a lot of people think that...
Where did this come from? Why now did you have this thing that you're like, oh, dude, we gotta hit hunting and conservation?
Honestly, I think it was, I spoke to my granddad recently, like last week or something. Just a brief phone call.
Yeah.
10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever. And he wanted me to read his fable. There's kind of this stigma out there for hunters, especially after that dentist shot Seth a little lion or whatever. That really adorable, you know, killer lion. Yeah, that guy got, like, doxxed, lost his practice. Like,
what?
Horrible stuff happened to that guy. Yeah. Just because he shot a lion because his professional hunter told him to shoot that lion.
Cancel culture.
It's not like a freaking dentist flew over to Africa, was walking through the freaking African plains and with a rifle on his back, and was just like, oh, there's a lion. Boom. No. Like, the professional hunter, probably not from that area, considering the lion was, like, locally famous or whatever, I don't know. The professional hunter said, look, that one's got a big black mane. That's the one you want. It's old. Get it. And he got it. And everyone's upset because this lion's super famous and, like, has a, you know, a cult following or whatever. I don't know. It sings karaoke on Fridays. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
But
ever since then, hunters have got a, not ever since then, but especially since then, hunters have got a really bad stigma that they... Just indiscriminate. It's like the guy.
Is it specifically in America? Like, is it American culture that's against these hunters?
Because
I feel like it probably is.
Not really.
It's just like these people talk about things that
like
they don't know
European,
about.
Yeah. I feel like in other countries like Northern Asia, like Russia and Kazakhstan and those areas, like, there's a lot of hunting. Lots of hunting. A lot of game. It's huge. Huge area. Not a lot of people. Only like 30 million people live in Russia. And it's like the second biggest, it's the first biggest country. Like, it's crazy, it's huge. Lots of open wilderness out there. There's lots of hunting, naturally. And then in Africa, that's a huge part of their economy.
Income, yeah, there's a huge thing for them.
Yeah.
The thing is that in Africa, it's more about, it matters a lot. Like, tigers can come into villages and ransack their place and kill people.
Yeah, most, you know? That's mostly in India.
India?
Southern Asia.
So
tigers specifically.
Lions can go in and kill people.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
this is me. I don't hunt. I'm sorry.
So in Africa, there's a lot of stuff that can kill you. Hippos actually kill the most people in Africa. Crocodiles are really bad, too. And believe it or not, baboons are horribly vicious, evil animals.
Right. No, yeah.
They specifically go after children.
National Geographic stuff. Dude.
Kill them, like, rip them limb from limb and kill them. Their teeth are like 3 inches long, so. Brutal. Like, yeah, it's brutal. So, like I said, it's very misunderstood. So, a lot of times, local villages, if they see a pack of baboons, they just pop them. Like, baboons are viciously mean, horrible animals. So are zebras, believe it or not. Zebras are pretty aggressive and very rambunctious animals. They almost cannot be domesticated.
Well, I mean, I would be too if I was out there. You're always getting freaking eaten by crocodiles and crap.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
gotta kick them, you know?
Compared to, like, antelope. Antelope will mostly just, like, run away. Like, zebras will very staunchly defend themselves and are pretty territorial.
Survival, dude.
Yeah, so, and then... Speaking of conservation, when I was in Africa, my granddad took me to Africa when I was 18, and when I was there, we went to a national game preserve in Botswana, and it was like, you could not touch anything. Like, locals, tourists, nobody could touch anything, control anything. There was just like a very, like extremely strictly regulated. Like animals just had to naturally thrive and survive. And if there's no population oversight and control, like things can get out of hand, especially if it's a contained area like this was. I mean, it was like 1 million hectares or something. It was huge. But,
what's a hectare?
Hectare is like, I can't remember. It's like 1,000 acres or something.
Oh.
It's a large,
interesting
area. What I saw firsthand was an incredible overpopulation of African elephants. And a lot of people think, oh, elephant, they're endangered, right? Like, no, they're not at all. African elephants are our least concern, and they're in certain areas, at least the places I went to, are overpopulated. Like, they need to be culled. I saw like trees like stripped of their bark and just death, like completely, like everywhere. I saw a baby elephant that was starved to death, dead and being eaten by vultures. It was like common. My professional hunter PH was like, that's what goes on these stupid game preserves, because they don't cull the population, and the bulls, well, the big bulls are huge, massive, and they just knock down the babies and eat whatever they can for themselves, because the food is that scarce. Elephants don't do that. They stick together. They're very social, tight-knit animals.
Right.
So it's pretty crazy what they've driven them to, just in the name of, you know, conservation. And a lot of other animals don't survive because a lot of the trees and leaves and grass gets eaten up by elephants. They eat a tremendous amount of food. That and, believe it or not, Africa problems are crazy. People running into elephants at night with their cars was becoming an increasing problem, because there are traffic lights in Africa, of course. Like, traffic is fairly normal in metropolitan areas, but in Botswana, where I went to, we landed on a dirt runway, and there was no street lights. There were like stop lights and stuff, but no like lighting on the streets at night. So a lot of times people at dusk don't drive with their headlights on. People aren't very good drivers now because there's just lack of regulation. And they'll hit elephants in the middle of the night with their tiny, crappy Chinese cars, and they'll die. But the elephant will like have a sprained ankle and just walk off.
Right.
So it's like, and that's a common occurrence.
Don't die from that?
Oh, it's an elephant.
I guess.
Yeah, it's a 20,000-pound animal.
I didn't imagine you're going that fast, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I have seen though. It's a huge. Whenever I watched Earth, they showed there was an episode about elephants and how they travel in the city at night. Mm-hmm. And they'll like travel in packs, sort of, and they'll just cross the street like, let's just go.
Yeah.
And like, it was dark and you couldn't see much, and there's no lighting.
Yeah.
So I can totally see that happening.
Yep.
You're just driving along and you're like, oh crap, that's an elephant. Boom.
Shortly after I landed in Botswana, I didn't see any like animals in South Africa, not like anything really like spectacular. But after we had the short flight from South Africa to Botswana, we were driving on this international highway, really, and we kind of slowed down a little bit, and my PH is like pointing to the left, and I'm like, what are we looking at? And it's just this like gigantic bull elephant, like huge, biggest animal I've ever seen in my life. And probably like, I don't even know, like 17 feet tall, 18 feet tall, easy. Huge, massive tusks, just chilling right on the side of the highway. Did not care about cars or anything. And like, and they could pick up a car with their tusks,
yeah,
and toss
dude,
it. Like, they're strong, huge, ridiculous.
You could just
animals.
Like walk onto the car and just
and crush it, yeah.
Like, this is insane, dude.
So they're dangerous, but they have to be, the population, my point is the population has to be controlled. Otherwise, other animal populations will diminish and struggle. You see what I'm saying?
But why do they even have to be there in the first place? They should just leave the animals alone.
Yeah, well, humans like to multiply a lot faster than animals do.
I'm trying to beat the other argument.
Yeah.
It doesn't
work.
The thing is, it doesn't work because, you know, everyone that's not there is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you live there And these people that argued against it lived there. They wouldn't argue against it at that point. That would change everything dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would be like...
Most people that are anti-hunting have never been hunting, don't know anybody that hunts.
And maybe they don't own guns either.
And probably not. Or they just own a shotgun and fire it out their window, like Joe Biden says.
What?
You go out on your front porch and fire shots in the air. What an idiot. Let's slap him. yeah, exactly. You got to know people that hunt and know what goes on. So my granddad... I think this weekend, actually, is going to be in San Antonio, and he is going to be hunting an extinct animal. So that's pretty cool.
What?
Yeah. Right?
Why can't you say the animal?
I can't remember what it is.
No, are you kidding me? You can't say that and then, like, lead me on like that.
I know,
that.
I really wish I knew. But it's a Record Buck Ranch, which is actually where I shot my white-tailed deer. And it's a great place to shout out to Record Buck. But they've got elk, they've got sheep, they've got Outdad sheep, Armenian Mouflon, Corsican, European Mouflon, Four Horned Hawaiian Black, Texas Doll, and Uriel. That's just the sheep on this ranch. They've got exotic antelope, Arabian Oryx, Addax Antelope, Black Buck, Blessed Buck, Bongo, Adama Gazelle, Eland, Gims Buck, Kudu. Now, Lechwe, no guy's pretty common in Texas. So is actually not Nialas. Red Lechwe, I think, I can't remember. There's a lot of these that are.
Okay, well, how is he? So it doesn't really matter. How is he doing this, though? How is he hunting an extinct?
They're extinct in the wild.
Oh,
and they only exist on Texas game preserves,
right?
Game ranches. And that, what's cool is, yeah, you can hunt these. If you want a kudu, it's $19,000. If you want a bongo, it's $37,000. But what that does is that pays for equipment and oversight for the herd. And what you do is you take the biggest, oldest alpha male so that new males can grow up and impregnate the other females. And
there's a way to do it. And if you have the right mindset on it and you have the right people doing it, then
exactly.
You're just going to keep having animals... Produce.
Yeah, like, there's college majors for small game.
Obviously, there's an extinct animal that doesn't, it's not extinct on a game preserve. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm interested to see, like, did they have it in their preserve before it went extinct? Yeah?
That's a good question.
Like, how do they do that? Is it freaking Jurassic Park stuff? We got the tree sap from a tree, and we, it's a mosquito in the tree sap. Got the DNA from that.
I don't think so.
And we made a kudu. <You know? laughs>
No, it's... I'm sure they have them from other game ranches. I'm sure that, obviously, originally most of them came from Africa.
Yeah.
But because of mismanagement and poor population control of animals like elephants and lions, these antelope and exotic deer fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah. You know?
It's like pandas. Like, if they're not very carefully monitored and controlled,
pandas,
they won't survive. Pandas just need to just go. Just let them slip off the face of the earth. Yeah, I don't care. Let them go. They suck
this
at reproducing.
This is playing into your hunting and conservation.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Dude,
how hypocritical
pandas
this
are
sounds.
So adorable. How can you say that?
But they suck at living. They suck at living.
Oh...
All they do is sit around and get high like koalas do.
It's like the unemployed.
They're like your unemployed millennial that still lives in your garage at like 27. That's pandas. Like,
that's why we love them so much.
You should not procreate. You should just...
We're already not doing that on purpose. So it's not because we're just, you know, whatever. Apparently that's happening, you know. Dang, dude. Hey, guys. One more time, I'll say it again and again and again. Please share this and let people know what's going on. Right now, though, I want to talk a little bit about conservation because we've talked about hunting. I think people understand that there are differences and, you know, it's really not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things you don't know. There's a lot of nuances. And you know, just like all these other things that people advocate, these activists want to get out and talk and have a speech about something and have a cause to follow, and I'm down with that. I get doing that. I get wanting to have a purpose in life because I'm the same way. I always am looking for my purpose. I think I found it, but That's beside the point. You need to research what you're advocating.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. And right now is the hardest. Right now is the hardest time to do that.
Yeah.
Because no one knows anything. Because we aren't shown anything and we're remote learning.
Well, also, TikTok has brought us, TikTok, commercials, TV, internet, all of that junk has brought us short attention spans, and we can't hold our attention on one thing for more than 30 seconds, so we end up just reading headlines that don't have anything to do with fact. They just say something. And then, very deep down in the article are the actual facts that no one really reads or cares about. You know what I mean? And then social media, you spread it all around, and it spreads like wildfire. It's crazy.
I want to talk a little bit more about that later, because I've got some stuff on that. But conservation on that topic. So are you trying to say hunting plays into the conservation side of things?
Absolutely. Because here's a this is an academic article on hunting and conservation. It's Does Sport Hunting Benefit Conservation by Andrew J. Loveridge, Jonathan C. Reynolds, and E.J. Milner Gulland. I can't find what school this is from. But it is published article, and it's basically, here's the introduction real quick, first paragraph. When a wildlife population is threatened, deliberately killing individuals from it may seem perverse, yet some argue that, paradoxically, a well-regulated sport hunting benefits wildlife populations. It may sometimes be the only way to ensure their persistence. In this essay, we consider whether this assertion is supported by experience. When poorly regulated hunting can be historically and often has been damaging to target population. I mean, think about American bison, you know, overhunted to the point of almost extinction. There was like 100 left, and now they're like everywhere, all throughout the American West again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about you can hunt them. You can shoot one today.
We're back to that now.
No problem. Oh yeah, absolutely. You can hunt. The grizzlies are coming back to Wyoming, and wolves are down to Colorado. Okay,
that right there, though, let's talk about that for a second.
Wolf hunting is starting to become almost like, come, please hunt these wolves.
There's actually some people that don't want that because of what ends up happening with the wolves hunting other things. Like, it almost like spreads like wildfire.
What do you mean?
Well, because wolves were actually already starting to move naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually started transporting them as well. And for some reason, I haven't done a lot of research on this. I need to do more. But apparently, transporting them is worse than if you just let them come down naturally.
Yeah.
And they were coming down naturally from
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. They were just like literally, there was like a pack or a family or something, literally a tiny number of wolves.
Yep.
And it moved to Colorado. And if they could have just like preserved them and been like, all right, you guys are great. Let's let them live on. And like they grow up from there.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's way better for the environment than the transport procedure because of, I guess, they grow too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Or the population grows way too quickly.
Yeah.
So the other populations of animals can't
cope.
Keep up.
Yeah.
They can't cope.
Yep.
It all has to happen. Progression has to happen naturally or else.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that is one thing they could like help out because it's interesting to me. I think that vote was pretty split. As far as, are we going to transport wolves or not?
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And so, and I think on both sides of the equation, you had people that would hunt. So, it wasn't a matter of activists versus non-activists. It was a matter of people, I don't know if they know that
it's
stuff.
It's just a matter of, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's very hard to say. Like, it's very hard to say which way is... would have worked better because they need it. Like they need wolves. I think it was like within the next 15 years, they need to have a good population of wolves for such and such reason. But they thought that it would be quicker if they transported it. I don't know. I'm not sure. But what were you gonna say? There's some. What do you call that?
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought you were trying to come up with a word. Discernment involved. I don't know what you were gonna say.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, so basically their conclusion that they draw is sport hunting can benefit conservation in a number of ways with acquisition and protection of habitat being a major benefit. So you can't just build suburbs and expect white-tailed deer population to increase or whatever it is, you know. There has to be like areas of land, white-tailed deer especially, like lots of areas of land they can spread out and they travel quite a bit. Big cats as well travel quite a bit, but like bigger area than you might think.
Big cats, huh? Mm-hmm. Tell me something about big cats. Just for the audience out there that would be listening or might listen later or whatever, I have a few friends that tell me that mountain lions don't exist in Texas.
Absolutely false.
And I told him there's no way. And we specifically said East Texas because I've seen one in East Texas.
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah.
And I'm
they're
like,
in Willow Park.
Okay.
I've talked to several different police officers that have said, I've seen cougars doing my patrol on Ranch House Road several times.
Okay.
Where I grew up, yeah, there's cougars.
That's for you, Blake Brody. Anyway, all right, cool. So
there's definitely, there's tons in West Texas. They're everywhere in the mountains. Yeah.
Yeah, well, in the mountains, of course, like Big Bend area.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tons
of
cougars.
We knew that, but I guess I should have said, specifically, we're talking about East Texas, and we're like,
yeah.
He's like, no, not even in Texas. And we're like, dude, come on, don't say
their
that.
Their range is like,
we know Texas is obvious, but like, he's like, there's no way, because like 300 miles is their radius for hunting and all this crap. And I'm like, dude, then you might have seen one. I don't know what you're saying. Like, they say, no, all these sightings are false. It's like a freaking, you know, alien sighting or whatever, which at the time we weren't getting into that, but I was like, dude, this happens. How do you not think they exist here?
Yeah, like,
I'm not sure, you know. I was like, what the heck?
Because
they hunt a lot, right? Like, they hunt hogs all the freaking time, and I've been with them a couple times, and I get that, but I'm like, no, we've never seen one ever. And I'm like, dude. He's like, you don't think we would have seen one by now? I'm like, nah, probably not.
This is funny. Estimating Texas mountain lion population is like herding cats. Literally. That's hilarious.
Dad joke central. Maddie B.
It's funny, okay?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, most Texans know. Is he from Texas?
Yeah, he's from Texas.
Pathetic. Most Texans know that mountain lions lurk in backyards, ranches, and national parks across the state, especially in West and South Texas. But what evades biologists and trappers alike is where exactly to find these elusive predators. How many are out there?
So I will say this. He is an avid listener. So thanks, dude, for
listening.
I'm
just giving
you
a hard time.
No, he knows. He'll be all right. It was just funny. When you said big cats, I was like, ooh, yeah, let's talk about big cats because there's no way.
Wolves, grizzly bears, and jaguars, which were prevalent in Texas. Jaguars. Think about
really?
That. That's think weird. About that. Mostly South Texas, deep South Texas.
Yeah, you're
but
talking
they were
about, don't they
all
need like a lot
Mexico
of trees
and
like wooded areas?
South Texas, like way like Brownsville.
Yeah, I'm thinking like there's not pine
crazy,
trees,
right? Yeah,
like,
but jaguars are really small. Like
right.
They're not as big as you might think.
Well, I think they're like a little bit bigger than a bobcat.
Yeah, they're like in between bobcat and cougar.
Right.
Cougars are much.
Oh, for sure.
It's like 30%.
There's bobcats everywhere, and he agreed with that. He's like, yeah, there's bobcats everywhere.
We've
literally like they've shot bobcats. I get that, but mm-hmm. like. I'm talking about like no, they haven't shot any of them. Never mind. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But like he's like, no, there's no cougars or you know mountain lions. I'm like, whatever, dude. They're here. They exist. Anyway, guys, I don't know. Did I already tell people to share this? Share this, guys. Share this with anyone you know. This is how we get out there. This is how we share it. This is how we. This is just how we grow, man. And I think we have hit these things pretty well. Did you have anything else we need to add?
Not this second, no.
Sweet, man. All right, this has been another Toasty Podcast. I love you guys to death. Keep watching. Keep spreading the word about what you believe because soon enough we won't be able to spread it anywhere but
yeah,
in person.
For sure. And let us know about your hunting experiences. If you have any cool stories or anything, let us know.
Yeah.
In the comments.
Yeah,
for
sure. I want to see hunting stuff.
Do you I mean, there's always a crazy, there's always some sort of crazy story.
What is hunting? I'm just kidding. Anyway, guys, stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Toasty.